81 years of age, are the Oscars getting old and tired or becoming young and vigorous like Benjamin Button's? One thing's for sure, they still remain the Super Bowl for the gays.
Today, we're talking about the Oscars, presented by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for excellence in the film industry.
It was super hunk Hugh Jackman's first time hosting the award ceremony, so should we give him a break or make him pay for those horrible musical numbers?
Make him pay. And why was he trying to make out with Frank Langella? If you're gonna go gay, what's wrong with Brad Pitt?
Tilda Swinton steals the show again with her fierce gender ambiguous look and a gown that can be best described as a hot couture snuggie.
The always hilarious Devin Green and Joel Bryant join us to talk about the red carpet, obnoxious celebrities, and the crazy shenanigans of the well-to-dos.
Plus, we have Peaches Christ, San Francisco's favorite movie-making drag queen, talking about her unexpected appearance on the Oscars during the montage for the movie Milk, and her thoughts on Dustin Lance Black's emotional acceptance speech.
Dustin Lance Black and Cleve Jones looking hot on the red carpet.
Oscar gift bags are as lush as ever.
And goodbye to Paul Newman and many others.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And this is Feast of Fools. Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your contributions make the site and this podcast possible.
Thank you. Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org. Hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes. It's Oscar time. It's Oscar time.
Oscar Mayer Wiener time?
No, it's nobody ever remembers what the Oscars actual title is. The award, annual Academy Awards for the Motion Pictures
Movie Academy.
Something science. Yeah. There's a word science in there somewhere.
It's all based on science. And your gods of science.
They've done 81 of these phenomenal, exciting events.
81. And the one was an Oscar this year.
Yes.
So instead of a one, they had an Oscar. So it was 80 Oscar. One.
I just thought that and I'm getting Twitters here and stuff in the background. We have to leave our cell phones on because we don't know who might be calling today to talk about
it. You just never know what's going to happen on the Feast of Fools.
Well, one thing that you never knew what was going to happen is that they gave out some douchebags were trying to get to ruin the Oscars by faking the winners list and leaking them onto the internet. But as we've learned, those fake lists usually turn out to be
wrong. They're fake. I mean, come on. PricewaterhouseCooper is not going to give out the Oscar secrets. Nobody's going to know. Every year. That's why they have it every year, because they're trusted with it. Accurate at all?
Well, they said actor in a leading role was Mickey Rourke.
Wrong.
Which turned out to be wrong. Actress in a supporting role, Heath Ledger.
He's not an actress.
It's in tiny print, so I'm having a hard time reading it here. Best animated feature film, WALL-E, obvious. Art direction, The Dark Knight. I don't know if they won. Best picture, Slumdog Millionaire was correct.
Yeah. What about actor?
I'm trying to...
Or screenplay.
It's hard to read. It's so tiny. You know, they're trying to make it very official sounding.
Well, that piece of paper that it's on and stuff like that looks really ridiculous.
It looks fake.
It looks like it was written on a typewriter.
That they did on Microsoft Word 98
or something. It was crazy. So you just can't believe the fakeries out there and stuff, because you just wait till the real event. That's why people watch these things, to find out. It builds the momentum, the excitement. So what were you excited about with the Academy Awards this year?
I was excited to see what Tilda Swinton was going to wear.
Yeah, because last year she wore a garbage bag.
And it's hard to live that down. Mm-hmm. But this year, she basically wore a Snuggie.
Well, it was like a Snuggie. Well, for those of you who don't know.
From the waist up.
From the waist up, it was a Snuggie, which for some of you, you might not know what a Snuggie is. It's like a robe, but it's also a blanket. It's a blanket with sleeves, so you can lay on the couch and you can read and knit and stuff like that.
I have to say, mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton works the tranny angle really good.
Oh, she does.
She's so, like, gender ambiguity, weird costumes, you know, scary, spooky makeup.
I can't decide whether I think if you're a fan of hers or if you have it in for her.
I think it's a little bit of both, you know? We love it, we hate it. You know, sort of like when you mm-hmm. with RuPaul, mm-hmm. you know, people or Madonna or any kind of like gay icon, mm-hmm. there's a bit of a love-hate relationship with her.
Well, she's really come so far since she was in Jurassic Park 3, you know?
What did she play?
She was, I don't know.
Dinosaurs?
I'm sorry. She was in Jurassic Park 1. She played the female scientist.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I thought she was one of the dinosaurs.
No. She was in the first one.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she was.
She was one of the scientists in Jurassic Park.
Yes, she was.
Can't believe that.
Well, you can do a
What else has she done?
What
she played the witch in the Lion Witch in the Wardrobe.
Her first big role that I remember seeing her in was Orlando.
Where she played the time-traveling transgendered royalty.
Uh-huh. And so, and then there was the Deep Blue or something like that. She played a mother and her son was gay. That was, or The Deep End.
That was a good one.
That was a good one, yes. So that was fun.
And then Hugh Jackman, whose name I still have problems pronouncing because mm-hmm. I just think of him as this massive.
Yeah, it's probably
hombre that from Australian. You know, I have to say, the whole musical montage and numbers mm-hmm. was embarrassingly bad. And yet at the same time, I couldn't stop watching it.
Really? I was just cringing. I was just like, God, I feel sorry for him.
But you know,
Hugh
Jackman can put butter on dry toast and I would be entertained.
It's so corny. I'm just like, oh, corny, corny, corny. It's like a summer camp production.
I'd rather have seen him making out with Frank Langella.
I wanted to see that.
You know, and Dustin Lance Black made me cry.
I know.
And Benjamin Buttons didn't. But I thought, you know, when I saw...
They won for best makeup.
Hugh Jackman going up to Angelina,
mm-hmm.
he had the like octo mom joke on the tip of his tongue.
Yes, he did,
and he didn't do it.
No,
I was a bit. I would have made an octo mom.
Well, because she's freaked. Angelina's freaked out about the octo mom.
Why would she be freaked out about
it?
She's not the octo mom. She doesn't have a million. Oh, she does have a million kids to raise.
But maybe she has the money to take care of them, and her kids aren't like all born at once. She doesn't have 14 of them. But the octo mom is supposedly like getting plastic surgery to look like her. She's inspired by her. She wrote her letters and stuff like that. She's kind of stalkerish. And Angelina is just like, she's weird and she creeps me out, she said.
She does. Yeah. Well, she creeps me out. I can't stop looking at either of them. And I sometimes, like, when I'll watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith, mm-hmm. I think it's the Octomom starring in the movie.
Wasn't it so much fun to see Cleve Jones on the Academy Awards?
I know. So Cleve wasn't able to talk to us. He's too busy celebrating and holding hands with Dustin Lance Black.
Because there were dates.
Woo! So we'll get the dirt on what happened after the Oscars
talk to him
later.
Hopefully we'll talk to him in the next couple of days.
But he said his official word is he's glad the film has told the life story of Harvey Milk and that millions of young people all around the nation and the world will now know his story and legacy.
Yeah, because with two Academy Awards, it's going to keep it in the theaters for a little longer and more people think, you know, I wasn't going to go see that gay movie, but hell, you know, Sean Penn did win Best Actor for it. So maybe I'll go and maybe it will change some hearts.
And I just want to see a transgendered person win Best Actor or Best Actress in the future.
Why not both?
At the same time.
Well, no, then you have the genital reassignment surgery and then you win for the next sex.
Oh, that would be good. Like Tilda Swinton could do it.
Children, we have your challenge. Your challenge is there.
Tilda Swinton could do it.
She'd have to have a gender reassignment surgery.
You know, she's halfway there.
I don't know if you need surgery.
She's like a quarter. For Tilda, you know, she just might as well just give it to her.
There's a lot of gay men that just absolutely love her. And you're
I know, I love her. Why am I breaking her hearts? By saying that she's fierce,
because she's
tranny,
a diva and you should worship her and you should not ever, you know,
enjoy her fierce diva tranniness.
I don't know.
I think it's a good thing. And I think Tilda Swinton's dresses should get their own Oscars.
What did you think of Sean Penn's speech?
I want to have his babies.
You do?
I think Sean Penn might actually be sexier than Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Or Hugh Grant. Whatever his name
is. So it's his second Oscar, right? I just think it was kind of funny. He went up there. He's like, I know it's hard for you guys to vote for me. That's kind of funny. It was funny. I was laughing. I was just like, all right.
So. You know, him and the Mickey Rourke, who looks like Kim Basinger on steroids right now. It's like, how can you look like your co-star?
From 20 years ago.
From 20 years ago.
It's maybe like, he fetishized like
he fell in love with her.
Fell in love with her and said, I'm going to look like you someday.
Oh, hey, we got a phone call. Somebody's calling us. Who's there?
Hello? Fosto!
Devin!
It's Devin!
And Joel!
Devin and Joel, we've been on the red carpet all night.
That's right. And then we woke up and had to figure out where the hell we were and how to get home.
You got to take half of those, the half of the recommended dosage.
It wouldn't be Oscar night without the full dose.
Does the red carpet match the drapes?
Well, if it's bald, yes. Here's a recap of the fashion. Look at how rich I am, so I can wear less diamonds and show you how conscious I am of how you poor people are suffering. I'm so rich that I can hide how rich I am. But, you know, when you look at me, I know that you know I can afford a high colonic.
Is that when you made it big in Hollywood, is when you can pay for a high colonic?
A high-end colonic, a fancy one, like a Java.
Like a measuring stick. The higher the colonic goes, the more successful you are.
Ooh.
So you guys have been watching the Oscars, you guys have been looking at the red carpet. Who is the best dressed that you've seen at night?
We've been on the red carpet.
You've been on it.
Right down there.
We're in
Hollywood
and Highland. I think the best dressed tonight, and back me up on this if I'm wrong, Jessica Biel, I love the sauna look.
The sauna.
She just got out of the shower and put on a toga and went to the awards.
It says, my breasts are sweating.
It says, I'll take this off in a heartbeat to do a sequel to Chuck and Larry.
If you go to our website, you can see a picture of Jessica Biel. She looks like she's wrapped up in a towel. Literally. I thought also the guy who was, the girl who was with Zac Efron, I think it was.
Yes. His beard. She's called the beard.
The beard.
You must have seen her nudie pictures.
No, the person I'm thinking of is James. It was this woman with James Franco, and she looked like she took a bolt of black fabric and wrapped it around her body.
Lots of folds this year.
It's the recession look. It's the Oliver Twist look.
Well, I'm going to go with SJP.
What's SJP?
A little bit of the Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, did you think she looked good?
I thought she looked fancy.
Let's go to Sarah Jessica.
Like a lady.
And her husband, how did he look?
He looked
her beard.
Her beard.
Pussy whipped. He looked downtrodden, melancholy.
I just like seeing Ferris Bueller with gray hair. It's kind of sad.
Well, I've actually had the pleasure of meeting him in person, and he does feel like every time he gets to hang out with gay men, he feels like he escaped the warden. And that's
Broadway.
That is from personal observation, I have to say.
Get the warden and we're right to prison.
Well, listen, before we got, when we went in, we just snuck out right now from the actual ceremony. But we interviewed some of the celebrities. Would you like us to run some of those?
Yeah.
Clips?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, just look at, we're going to give you, there was only one quick snapshot of us on the red carpet, and Joel accidentally was touching my vagine. Sorry about that.
Did it feel
good?
That's
all you get. Okay, roll the clip. Hi, Mickey Rourke, come on over here. Did you bathe because you knew you were going to show up tonight?
I miss my dog.
Ooh.
I miss Loki.
Maybe we can reenact 9.5 weeks together in 5 seconds. Oh!
All right, get out of here. You're scaring me.
He's creepy.
Hey, Penelope Cruz, over here, Penelope Cruz. Congratulations. Hey, ¿cómo se dice hace?
¿Dónde está Wawa?
Sí, porque el guacamole está bien.
Escuche, I don't know much more English words, but what is your puta?
Who else you got?
Here's a recreation. Slumdog Millionaire. One of the Slumdog Millionaire singers. We have the Slumdog Millionaire, the Mumbai Kids. Mumbai Kids. The Mumbai, what's the big city in Delhi Kids?
Mumbai.
Slumdog Kids.
Yes, they're from India.
They're from Mumbai.
India.
Mumbai.
Yeah, we got some of those little children in tatters. They came over here. They're winners tonight. Come here, little boy. You're an American winner, which is better than any other kind of winner that there is. Wow. You're really sweet. I could adopt you. Hey, Joel, can we take this one home? Oh, look, there's Huge Grant. Huge Grant? Huge Jackman. No wonder why he's not coming over right away. Oh, hey, Huge. What a great... You know what? You're a hell of a singer, hell of a dancer. I hear
right.
It's going to be... Yeah, would you like to come over for supper tonight?
Sure enough, after I catch my breath. It's hard faking like you like Anne Hathaway on stage.
She's a girl.
That's right. That's why it's tough.
Hey, Huge, can I interrupt and ask Huge Jackman a question?
Yeah.
I noticed that you were trying to do a sort of bromance kiss with Frank Langella. Did anything come of that during intermission or during commercial break?
Well, something kind of it's all right.
I got
some digits, three of them to be exact. But I could only fit three. Yeah, no, it was great. Franklin Jelly's in the theater, so we all know each other from Broadway. We all get together. Me, Frank, the Sheen boy. Sheen who was in the frost mixing with him.
Hey, I see who's coming down here. Danny Boyle, he's the Scottish director of The Slumdog Millionaire. Danny.
Right.
Boyle. Hey, can you give a shout out to our friends Mark and Fosso at Feast of Fools?
Right, Feast of Fools. There you go, right.
Hi, Danny.
Danny, you're
fucking great.
Love the movie.
So many great films. They don't even make sense. What's your next film?
Right, I'm doing a documentary on the Wingding Fonts.
Wingding Fonts?
That's right.
I didn't think there was a need for that.
It's a crying need in the ghetto for Wingding Fonts.
Well, I guess there was no need for Slumdog.
Hey, you guys want to hear from Kate Winslet?
Yeah, let's hear. I didn't know Hugh Jackman was going to interview Kate Winslet.
Right. It's a veritable star-studded battle of the network stars here.
If you could ask Kate any question,
what would you guys ask her?
What's the secrets to her diet? Her diet success.
Or lack thereof. What's the secrets of your diet?
GABA, being so very proper, I can only put one thing in my mouth at a time. I'm so very thankful to be able to swallow anything whenever I get the chance.
Hey, can we talk to Miley Cyrus's heavy dress?
Yes. I'm Miley Cyrus in heavy dress. I thought of mind of my own. I'm going to go this way. Miley's going to go that way. I'm not going to let her. I'm a chastity belt on the Miley Cyrus. Nobody's going to get up into my...
Miley's dress, you're pulling down her front teeth, so they're making them huge.
How much do you weigh, Miley Cyrus dress?
Are
you heavier than Kate Winslet?
Just like my drugs.
So can we talk to Tilda Swinton's new dress of this year? So it looks like a Snuggie.
That was a Snuggie, right?
Yeah, she was wearing a Snuggie.
Commercial Snuggie.
Last year she wore a garbage bag. This year
I'm a Snuggie. I keep you nice and warm. Look at me. I can do a jig. I'm fun for the whole family.
Well, how much have you guys drinking tonight?
This is free fire at the Kodak Theater.
Oh, hey, look at, what's that little tin man called?
Wally?
Oh, come here, Wally. Come here.
Eve.
Wally.
Eve.
Oh, look at that. We should have written that film.
Is he asking for ecstasy?
What's that?
E.
E. I want to see.
Take your hit of E. That's how I like to start each and every morning. Oh, what about Robert Downey?
Let's hear it.
Hey.
Where is he?
Robert.
Hey, Robert Downey.
What's up, my member, Jimus?
I think Robert's been falling off the wagon, you know what I'm saying?
What's that?
Robert's been falling off the wagon.
Oh.
Falling off the wagon because the hydraulics were bumping up and down.
What about Iron Giant? I love that film. It wasn't even nominated.
Iron Man?
Yes, that one.
Not the one with Vin Diesel doing the voice of a giant?
No, Iron Giant. Iron Man.
Damn. Shimmalima ding dong.
So you're the dude that didn't win.
The dude, just a little goat dude.
Unfortunately. We do have some sources who say that Angelina is going to go home and tattoo her babies tonight.
I was a little bit nervous when I saw Hugh Jackman going to Angelina. I thought for a second he was going to do a octo-mom joke at her.
Yes.
You know what?
I saw him thinking it, didn't you?
But I thought he was going to do something that would make her unbearably uncomfortable, and it was going to be just a nightmare.
A lesser host would have. How about that classy thing of when Jennifer Aniston's on stage and the camera kept going to Angelina
Jolie? I know, isn't that wonderful? And did you notice like what part of the stage they were on? They were on the part of the stage that
right.
was all the way at the other end.
Very classy.
Of them.
Do you mind if we just address Philip Seymour Hoffman's beanie for a little bit, though?
Yeah, let's talk about what happened.
It's obviously very cold in the Kodak, and I feel bad. It's recession times, and obviously the heat's turned off in his house.
So he's like finally getting out of the homeless shelter and into the Kodak Theater.
Maybe he just got out of hibernation.
I thought he was in character. It almost looks like one of those hats that have the fake Rasta braids. That seems inappropriate for any award season.
Now let's hear your thoughts on Hugh Jackman's opening number and the musical numbers. What did you guys think about it? I thought I was it cringeworthy.
I was embarrassed for him.
It would be cringeworthy if he would have missed every single note. But he hit like one or two. I think.
Well,
he was facing away going.
Well, you know, Joel, you are a lot like Hugh Jackman. Is like, we could watch you put butter on toast and we would be entertained.
Oh, very good.
And I have to say, you do an amazing impersonation of Hugh Jackman.
Well, I'll tell you, you've hit upon something. He was not embarrassed. He loved performing and he was having a great time. That charisma is absolutely compelling no matter what.
Yeah, even Frank Langella went gay for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why we all packed the theaters to watch Kate and Leopold.
Well, if you were hosting the Oscars, Joel, and you were going up to Frank Langella in the front row, and he says, I don't mind if you kiss me on the lips, would you have kissed him?
Would I kiss Frank Langella?
I would have kept making out with Frank Langella.
I don't know how anybody, straight or not, could resist Frank Langella.
Really?
I mean, especially as Nixon. Come on.
Did you guys catch that, though? He said he was kind of like joking about kissing him. Frank Langella was like, go right ahead.
Yeah, like he dared him, and he was bluffing. He called him on his bluff.
Your kiss bluff.
I would, but I've heard nothing but...
bad breath stories.
I've heard Frank Langella is a little bit of an a-hole, and I haven't kissed an a-hole since college.
Yeah, I heard Frank Langella's breath smells like Mexican pool boys' butts.
Just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you, Jack. You should have kissed him.
Who doesn't like a touch of the tar? Right?
Look,
you know what I like to see? I like to see any award show. I don't care whether it's for wine or hubcaps. I like to see Beyonce on there shaking her tail feathers, doing her thing each and every time. Doesn't matter what the award show is. She is the highlight. Look at that kind of passion.
I'd like to see an award show that didn't have Beyonce. Does one exist?
No.
I think she cornered the market on it.
I think she did. And then she had the booty balls to take Etta James' song once again.
Yeah.
Well, I think since Etta called her out on it, she's just like, bitch, I'm going to sing that song. And there's
was
nothing
that even
you can
in
do
a
about
movie?
It.
That song is not even in a movie. It has nothing to do with anything.
Well, she's filming the at last or something. She sang it at the inauguration.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with films whatsoever.
I'm sure it's been in 100 movies.
I'm sure any song that's popular enough has been in a movie, but that was a total diss to Etta James.
It was.
I can sum it up in three words what that was. That was the finger, the fist, and some hoof.
That's right. Put a ring on it.
Now, did you guys cry when Dustin Lance Black accepted his Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for Milk?
Let me just say, in all seriousness, that's his
original screenplay.
That's his first screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy could not have been more composed for winning the biggest award given to screenwriters and to be on the biggest stage and to accept an award for your very first screenplay. I was impressed at how composed he was. I would have been flipping out.
I know. I would. Now, you're an actor, so how many times would you have rehearsed that speech before you went up there? 50? 100?
By the time I get up there, it's going to be so rote and played out. It's like a memorized Hamlet monologue.
And the camera will be panning to me, and I'll be mouthing it.
But the problem is I rehearse it in the shower, so I'll probably like have to get all naked and like steam up a window to do it.
Ooh, time more.
Oh, wait, I'm going to do that to get the role to get there.
That changes the entire awards show. I wouldn't mind that at all. You know what? I like the cohesiveness that they have. I do like that they have, you know, like Will Smith introducing several categories that logically belong in the same category.
Such as?
Well, such as the post-production stuff, the, you know, post-sound editing and listening.
So they put them all together. Yeah, it was. Usually in years past, they usually don't have people introduce a whole bunch of different ones at once.
They should just do it like the People's Choice Podcast Awards. Mm-hmm. Not even have a ceremony for it.
They should just do it over the internet.
Yes, do it on the internet. Now, what do you guys think about director of Best Animated Short, who was like, "Thank you, domo arigato, Mister."
Anybody that gets to get on the world stage and just cater to every stereotype and take their culture back 100 years, I think is very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You go up there and say, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Anytime you get shout out six and take your culture back.
We just got this. Sean Penn got Best Actor. Yeah.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
No, we were worried.
Hey, look it. What was in that last podcast? You asked me my opinion, and I called this one.
Yes, you did.
It had to be him. It's such a poignant, riveting, groundbreaking, thoughtful, perfunctory
story of our times.
Well, I'm sure, you know,
you have a wonderful vocabulary, Devin. Did you take like one of those vocabulary enhancing classes?
Yes, I had elocution classes. I took.
Well, Mark, you know how some people have like the newspaper on the toilet? She has a thesaurus next to the can.
Perfunctory.
Perfunctory.
You just like F words.
That's damn right. You're listening to the Feast of Fools.
So finally, Kate Winslet doesn't have to be forced starving herself or make herself fat to win an Oscar because she got it. She's been nominated 5 times and this is the first time she's won.
Oh, they just announced the Best Picture winner.
I know.
Kate Winslet naturally is a heavy girl.
Mm-hmm.
Your thermostat is usually set at an early age. Oprah Winfrey, she was set at an early age, you know.
Is that what it is? It's all about setting your thermostat?
Yes.
This is the girl who weighs 80 and keeps the thermostat to 100 in the apartment.
It doesn't look. She can be heavier, she can be thinner, she's going to have the same amount of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Still get naked in every film.
Well, I thought it was very predictable that WALL-E won Best Animated Film, but what was surprising is the director, Andrew Stanton, he was cast as Barnaby in Hello, Dolly! As a kid.
Did you guys see WALL-E?
Fast Yes, WALL-E was great.
Weren't you sick of that song, though, from Hello, Dolly? By the end of the movie, I was just like, if they sing this goddamn song one more time, I was going to go nuts.
Well, we have a little bit of trivia for you, some Frank Langella trivia.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
What was the other award? Why was he awarded before? Not even a sentence.
I don't know.
I think he won a Tony, didn't he, for Broadway?
No, an Academy Award
nomination for what role?
For what role?
Dracula.
No. What was that movie with the Devil's Gate with something or other? I don't know. I don't know. What was it?
Dracula.
No,
it was
really?
Dracula.
No, it was Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Devin auditioned to be the guy who hosts Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Slumdog Millionaire, and she lost because she couldn't get the questions or answers right.
You know what's funny about Slumdog is, like, I was watching that movie, and it's like I really felt like I knew a lot of those actors in there, because we go to the Indian part of town to eat, and they have, their pictures are everywhere, because they're in because, you know, if you're a Bollywood actor, you make about 100 movies a year.
Right.
And so it's just like I've seen all these faces for years, and I'm like, wow, I felt like I knew them.
That's a very interesting point, because, like, in Canada, if you're, you know, a Canadian it's not actor per se, it's performer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're on every single TV show. It doesn't matter what pilot, it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. not like, hey, gosh, you're stereotyped as something. You can perform in anything, so you do. So you're in, like, all the TV shows, all the movies, and, you know, you'd see somebody quite a bit. So that's interesting that you would bring that up.
Mm.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes, huge.
Did you know that he could sing duets so well with someone you didn't know who could sing?
You mean Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway, yeah.
I would have liked to see Hugh Jackman do a daddy boy duet with Zac Efron. What is Zac Efron going to come out of the closet is what I want to know.
Is he in the closet?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
He's supposedly dating some girl.
He had a beard, so.
He's out of the closet and laying on the chaise lounge. And asking for DiCaprio to paint.
You know, I just found a picture of Frank Langella kissing director Bryan Singer from the film Superman on the lips.
Wow. On the lips?
On the lips.
Sexy, sexy.
So it's not the first time that Frank Langella's gone gay for somebody in Hollywood in front of the cameras.
I like when his daughter was on.
How badly does that turn you on?
I just imagine
two unattractive men making out. Yes, well, it's very sexy.
You know, Brian Springer is pretty.
Oh, is he good? Yeah. I can't see it from this angle.
He's a gay director of Hollywood.
Yes, because he did Valkyrie.
Well, see, the thing is, if I'm going to be kissing Frank Langella, I'm just going to, like, put him out of my mind and imagine I'm making out with Richard Nixon.
The real stud. But I like when Frank Langella, he had his daughter with him, and he's, like, talking to the reporter, and he's like, she will not be saying anything. She's shy.
Like, he put the kibosh on her. That was a very aggressive move. That wasn't one of those sweet...
No.
Coddling.
Because you know she wanted to just scream, my father touches me in places.
Ow. Are you kidding? Touch, finger, fist, foot, heel.
Auras.
Hey, you know what? I had an idea that I was gonna shave all my leg hair except for just a little tuft that would keep growing at the back of my ankle. So I'd have like an ankle mullet.
Okay, who do you guys think was the hotter octogenarian, Goldie Hawn or Sophia Loren?
That's so funny. We had the exact same conversation because I was going to do we were going to actually interview Gloria Stewart.
Who?
And then we were like, well, who's there? Goldie.
I think Goldie Hawn's hit a wall and gone through it.
What is? Because she looks pulled.
I don't think she's maintaining.
Well, she is. How old is she? She's like 65, right?
Right.
And I couldn't believe Sophia Loren is like 75 now. And I was just like, damn, you look good.
Gloria Stewart's that old lady who plays the old woman who throws the diamond across.
Oh, she died, didn't she?
In Titanic.
Oh,
she's
did?
Dead.
She's
oh,
not
God.
Dead, is she?
She's been dead for years.
I don't think she is.
She's not dead. She said, sure? Her Wikipedia entry doesn't say she's dead.
Well, her career
well,
is.
Then I'm putting her in my death pool.
What'd you think of what they do, the bring out your dead sequence? Did you watch that part?
No.
Well, what's her name was singing, and they show all the montage of all the people that had died.
And you know, if I died, the last thing I want to see is Queen Latifah singing.
Oh,
alive or dead.
Memoriam?
You know what I'm saying? I love Queen Latifah, but she's just like, she's somebody who, I don't know.
She needs to come out.
She needs to come out as a closet, as a lesbian.
Did she do like a hip hop song, like UNITY? Was it more of a jazzy standard?
So quickly, we got to run because we got another person to talk to. Slumdog Millionaire. Do you guys think it's going to win versus Milk? Will race and poverty trump gay liberation?
Well, Slumdog's going to take it. But the important thing was for the message of Milk to actually get out there. No hate.
No hate.
Love. Support the fight proposition. Hate. Can't even talk
right
now.
It's too late. It already passed.
You can't talk because you have a
someone's on the fence.
What's wrong? You don't know.
I'm sorry. I'll take
it
out.
You get married. You get yourself married, young man. I'll make an honest man out of you yet and get you in a kitchen.
Mark and I are living in sin.
Oh, you are?
But we are wearing those little white ribbons in support of the gay marriage equality.
Is that what the white ribbons?
Yeah, that's what Dustin, Lance Black, and Cleve Jones and all these people are wearing.
I thought it was a cock ring. Huh. Okay.
We were actually out in a bar last night, and this guy had this cock ring on. And I'll just tell you real quick. And then it looped out in between his legs and then up his butt, and it turned into a butt plug. I couldn't believe it. And he said he likes to sit on it and rock back and forth.
Wow.
Like I know. Exotic.
Why even leave the house?
He said he wears it to work.
Like a strawberry shortcake.
Depends on what you do for work.
He's a bartender or a waiter, and I was just like, really, you wait tables with a butt plug in? He's like, yeah.
A dumb waiter. He carries food on it.
Well, listen, let's go back to watching the Oscars.
Okay.
Thank you so much for talking to us, guys.
Listen, we had a great time on the red carpet. We'll have more celebrities.
We got to go back inside.
Yes.
Happy Oscar day.
Take care, Mark and Foster.
I'm glad you guys were able to smuggle your cell phones in and out. So I don't know where you kept them.
She stuck them in deep inside the cavity.
Bye, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Devin Green and Joel Bryant live in Los Angeles, California. You can learn more about the both of them and check out Devin and Joel's hilarious YouTube videos at devengreen.com.
So it's Devin Green with all E's.
Yes.
Every vowel is an E.
Hey, Mark, I hear the phone ringing again. Who could that be?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hi, it's me, Peaches Christ.
Peaches Christ! We haven't heard from you forever. You've been so busy working on your new movie.
I know. It's been all-consuming.
Has it? I'm sure it's been like all day, every day, right?
Yes.
Are you getting any sleep?
Not really, but you kind of get used to it.
So you crawl into your coffin at the end of a film shoot and infuse yourself with the blood of the young.
Well, we haven't even started shooting yet. That's the funny thing. This is just pre-production.
Wow.
So how many extras have you guys signed up so far for the bloody massacre inside the movie theater?
I have no idea.
Lady Bear is in charge of that, right?
Yeah, Lady Bear is working with the San Francisco casting director.
Who's Lady Bear?
I don't know. That's the person that sent us the email that said, if you want to be on the extra, you know, let me know what dates you can come. Right, Peaches? Are you there? We lost you.
We lost you. Peaches, are you still there, sweetie?
No, we lost her.
Okay. Well, let's call her back.
Hello?
Peaches!
Peaches, you're back.
I have no idea what's going on.
Well, we couldn't hear you. Because you're on a cell phone, right?
Not my phone.
Yeah.
Well, we're on a landline, so... Are you on a landline?
I know. It used... Yeah, Dupree and I are checking our phones, and neither of them have very good service, which is weird, because usually we have full bars.
What's happening is that Dustin Lance Black won for Best Screenplay, original screenplay, and Sean Penn won for Best Actor, and so all the gays are celebrating and ecstatic in San Francisco.
Oh, maybe.
All the electricity.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts about, did you see Dustin Lance Black speak?
Yeah, well, yeah, except that they showed me on TV like two or three times when they were showing the montage. So when he got up there, my phone was ringing off the hook, so I actually didn't hear what he said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like my mom called and all these people called and were texting, you know, because they had just seen me on the Academy Awards.
Wow, I didn't notice that part. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, that was the montage that they showed.
Wow. So
I didn't see that either.
And was this where you were, this is the scene where you were chewing the gum or eating a Subway sandwich?
Yeah,
or...
they showed that shot and they showed the shot before it.
Oh, that's
wow. Actually,
so they showed like the whole thing of me.
So that you don't even have to make this next movie because you've already been in the Oscars already in a way.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that was my first time at the Academy Awards.
on national television. Well, you had your own TV show there for a while on syndication. But wow, so that's fantastic. What did you think of Natalie Portman yelling at Ben Stiller for chewing gum?
It was totally staged or whatever.
It was totally staged. Okay.
I know. So I'm beginning to miss Tilda Swinton's garbage bag dress
from last year.
You know?
Well, this
year, there was nothing. None of the fashions were very controversial or exciting.
Mm-hmm. It was lots of I feel like I was watching like two seasons of Project Runway with lots of draping, like with that Remy did all that draping, and then the next year Leanne did all the constructed outfits with all the little flaps and stuff like that.
So, yeah, isn't that funny? There was a lot of that too, huh? Mm-hmm.
You know what? James Franco should have just worn nothing but a Speedo
and a mustache.
And a mustache. Yeah. I think his mustache should have gotten an Oscar.
He should have worn Daisy Duke. In honor of all the Castro clones.
That would have been good, you know?
Isn't it funny how there's a gay clone for every generation?
But Emile Hirsch, like James Franco, Zac Efron are now sitting in a little jacuzzi drinking champagne and making out with each other. I just know it.
With Elton John.
You can feel it.
Yes, and Cleve Jones is there. More champagne, boys.
I know that was nice that Sean Penn thanked Cleve Jones. That was great.
Yeah, I actually got the pleasure of talking to Cleve Jones earlier today, and he and Dustin Lance Black are each other's dates for the event.
Mm-hmm. They went together.
That's good.
So they're holding hands.
The day that the nominations were announced, Sean called up Cleve and said, "Get your ass to the city. We're going to go out and party tonight. Drinks are on me."
Oh, really?
They actually have a pretty good, they had a close working relationship on the show, and I think that there's a friendship there.
Uh-huh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Sean needed like a back massage, you know, Cleve, massage my back.
The moral.
What was the highlight for you, Peaches, besides seeing yourself, of course, up in big lights?
No,
besides
nothing
you.
Really compares to that, I'm afraid.
Well, you know what kind of drove me?
Obviously, that's what this year's awards show were all about for me.
Well, you know what I hate? The thing that bugged me was, I think because everybody now has gone HD TV and those big plasma screen TVs, and we have this, what is it, a 36-inch television, I think.
It's a 24-inch.
24-incher. I know.
He has AOL inches.
It's
internet inches.
Okay, if that's how many inches is it. So everything was kind of small. Like
you guys must be really poor.
Well, yeah. Well, I believe
we're like slumdog millionaires when it comes to television.
You know,
I know. Why even bother having a TV?
Well, because we put all our money into the show and stuff like that. And people always say that when they come over, they're like, "You have this computer and you have this recording equipment and stuff like that." And then look at this TV. And they always comment on the TV, and we're like, "Well, I mean, you can still see stuff, but right. I think because you probably have a big giant plasma screen TV."
No, we don't actually. I'm just a poor and humble tranny trying to survive in this world.
Yes, in Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
Now, so what do you think about Best Picture, Slumdog Millionaire winning, and also for Best Director?
I have no idea because I never saw it.
That's what I appreciated about the opening montage is that they did a montage number. To a dance number to films you haven't seen yet but have been nominated. They're like, I haven't seen this.
The Reader. I haven't not seen that. I didn't see The Reader or Doubt, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, some years I feel like I've seen everything and I'm kind of up on it. I have to say, I kind of feel like the awards every year, and maybe it's just me, but they get more and more boring. And, so this year, I think the major contenders that I had seen were The Wrestler and Milk.
Mm-hmm. Were you disappointed Milk didn't get more Oscars, or do you think two is good enough?
Well, no, I guess I did. I don't feel that. I feel like it would have been weird if Sean Penn hadn't won, but, you know, because I hadn't seen the other movies, it's sort of weird to have an opinion, you know, a really strong one.
Well, I think this is a situation maybe like Crash, where the politics involved in the films were certainly important. But, you know, we saw pretty much every movie except for Doubt nominated for Best Picture.
And The Reader. So we saw 3 out of 5.
And Benjamin Button. But,
okay, we saw.
But, like, nobody cares
about.
We saw
a couple movies.
Like, Benjamin Button didn't get anything.
It didn't have a chance.
It didn't have a chance, you know? It's like, you know, listen, if you're married to the Octomom lookalike, Brangelina Jolie. You know, you're doing pretty well. That's your Oscar. You know what I'm saying?
I did actually see Benjamin Button.
You did?
Yeah.
Because you okay.
That freaky old man baby didn't freak you out enough to see it.
I couldn't see it because that picture, that little old man baby, he looked like one of those little like baby mice that you would feed to a snake, and I was just like, I couldn't.
Well, Dupuis and I were in Maryland over the holidays, so we saw it with my parents. You know, so it's like was one of those kind of movies.
Okay.
And everyone kind of went mild for it, and I ended up loving it.
Oh, you did? You liked it?
I ended up liking it a lot, and everyone else was kind of like, really?
Okay. I'm surprised that you liked it, but I don't know. I would think that you'd be more in the horror thing you would have liked.
But you know, the dead people montage wasn't like, oh, they're dead, or, you know, there was no surprises there.
Yeah, everybody was like, yeah, they're dead. That's dead. They're dead. The bring out your dead.
Isaac Hayes.
I actually met Isaac Hayes once. I had Easter dinner with him. We actually broke bread. I shared my role with him.
And he said, thank you.
Yeah, he was dating a friend of the family, but because this was in Marietta, Georgia in the 80s, they didn't say that they were dating because she was white and he was black. They said that she was working for him. He was gonna come out with Isaac Hayes designer jeans, and she had a big booty for a white girl. And so she was gonna be the model for his jeans. And, like, that has the story wet. And like, don't tell.
That's hot.
So he talked with a very deep voice.
Did you know that Roy Scheider died?
Yes.
I know. So finally he's in heaven fighting sharks.
Show at all.
Well, the weird thing about the Bring Out Your Dead montage is that usually there's like a couple character actors that you kind of really recognize, and you're just like, oh, I've seen that person in everything. And then this year I was just like, I don't know who that person is. I don't know who that was. So I was like, I don't know. And of course they end with Paul Newman. He's so cute.
I know.
And I'm trying to figure out, with the quote, he ended with a quote that I thought was very touching. And he said, the biggest difference between people is between those who have pleasure and love and those that haven't. So what do you think that, is that Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof? I couldn't tell.
I think maybe. I thought that Queen LaQuifa did a very good job with her song.
Yeah, she was all right. She was, you know what? She smokes. I think she recently quit smoking. I mean, you can hear that smoker in her breath. The other thing is, like, it kind of makes me laugh because she sings the word gay in that song, and I'm just like, she just came out.
Yeah.
Well, if she looked at the camera and winked, maybe that would have been
probably
better.
Probably pointed at herself, but they cut away.
Muff Diver.
So, what'd you think about like all the fashion? It was blah. I thought Miley Cyrus's dress was the most like horrifying thing from Zuhair Mourad. You know,
Zuhair Mourad,
the fashion designer,
the famous one.
Yes, Zuhair Mourad.
Yeah, people hated that, huh? It was just boring. I mean, I don't know.
You know what was the best dressed thing at the Oscars was the Swarovski crystal curtain. God damn, that thing was beautiful.
That was actually really impressive.
That was really all hand strung.
The stage design looked really cool.
Yeah, they had.
It was good that they talked about it right beforehand because you kind of noted how cool it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you would have appreciated it as much if you didn't know kind of what went behind it.
Right. They almost have to give you a documentary of the show you're about to see so you can enjoy the show more.
Yeah, smart. Because you would probably notice it if you were sitting there and all those crystals were, you know, glittering in your... But when you watch it on TV, you don't really... It doesn't translate.
Yeah, you're not like, this is $1 million in Swarovski crystals. You know that the gift bags were still being given out and they were just as lavish as they always have been.
What was their value?
At over,
it was $35,000.
I think it was $35,000.
So, yeah, I think next year we should put some Feast of Fools t-shirts in those gift bags.
We should do Feast of Fools gift bags and have our own award ceremony.
All that stuff is just donated. So it's just an estimated value based on, you know, but they don't really buy anything.
But they have to report it. Oh, yeah, it's all donated, but they have to report it.
On income tax.
Yeah.
And so a lot of celebrities look at it and they go, I don't know if I want, you know, free plastic surgery on my lips. You know?
I think Mickey Rourke wants it.
He can't get enough of it. It seems like he looked like Kim Basinger on steroids.
He was the most exciting part of the, you know.
I just thought for any minute he would have snapped and killed somebody, you know, or done like a pile drive on what's his name from American Idol. God, I'm like blanking out on names.
Pile driver? Oh, Ryan Seacrest.
I wanted him to pile drive Ryan Seacrest.
That would have been fun.
You know? Did you see Ryan Seacrest interviewing the children from Mumbai, India? They're like, no. I do not speak no English.
And he's like, will you translate what he said? He doesn't speak English. Like, well, he didn't say anything.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was fun.
What did you think of Whoopi Goldberg's look?
She just, I don't know, work it, it was like a tranny-licious best actress, because you had Tilda Swinton and Whoopi on the stage together.
Foster has it out for Tilda.
I don't have it out for Tilda. Good. I thought Tilda looked really good.
She was wearing a Snuggie.
Why do people think that a Snuggie looks good?
You know what a Snuggie is, right?
Yeah. Martini loves her Snuggie. I can send you a picture of her in it.
Your boyfriend likes wearing a Snuggie.
Her dress was good. Her makeup was fierce. Her hair color was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like the Bjork factor, though.
Would have looked more glamorous if she wore her costume from Sister Act.
And I don't understand. She wore those glasses, those sunglasses, but they were just kind of like resting on her head. And then she's like looking at the camera over the glasses. It was the weirdest thing.
She likes that grandma eyeglasses look.
Is she a grandma fetishist?
She's a grandma fetishist. She likes she likes being a grandma. So from what I hear, from watching The View, she's always like, my grandkids did it, you know. It's like, just trying to play down the lesbianic.
Well, I thought it was cute too, but the romance montage, because you know how they do like the comedy montage and all that kind of stuff. And the romance, I was just like, are they going to show Harvey Milk kissing? Are they going to show
it? You were like a rabid lesbo Nazi or something.
I really wanted to see it in there, and I was afraid it wasn't going to be in there because we were like 30 seconds in before, like, and, or 30 or 45 seconds in before it happened. And then they just showed Harvey Milk and James Franco at a kitchen table talking. So there wasn't
kissing.
Kiss, and I was just like, oh, you better give me the kiss, and it came. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, I have to admit that I wasn't sitting there watching it like the whole evening, you know. But I did tune in when they were doing the Pineapple Express spoof, the parody with James Franco, and then it showed him watching himself kissing Sean Penn, and I thought that was adorable.
What happened? I don't. What was his reaction to that?
James Franco puts his arm around his co-star and does a little gay thing happening, and it's like, you know, I mean, James Franco can put his arm around me any day.
Did you see?
Yeah, it was just cute.
Did you see Sophia Loren?
Oh my God, amazing! She was such an old tranny. I love.
She was like a Muppet. I'm like.
Amazing.
75 years old and looking that good, man. That's incredible.
I don't think she was the oldest person there, though. I think.
Well, I'm sure she wasn't the oldest. I don't know if she was the oldest, but
she. Who was the oldest? Was that actress
Eva Marie Saint? Or was it?
No,
was she there?
The old lady, Gloria Stewart.
Okay.
I think she was the oldest, but the second oldest was Goldie Hawn.
Uh huh.
At 78 or something. How old is Goldie
Hawn? Goldie Hawn's got to be like 65
Goldie
or something like that.
Goldie Hawn. Let's Wikipedia.
Okay, I just looked up Miley Cyrus's dress because I hadn't seen it yet.
She's 63 years old.
Oh, 63. My God. That is too fierce.
Mm-hmm. I think the dress, like, we talked to Devin Green earlier in the show, and she's saying that the dress has a mind of its own.
It really looks like it could be aerial, like just sort of spread out and hover, you know, start spinning around and fly her away or something.
It's one of those, you know, science fiction Borg costumes or something where it's like Borg plating where it kind of clamps onto her body.
Speaking of Miley Cyrus, did you watch any of the Barbara Walters special that was aired before the Oscars?
No.
She was interviewing the Jonas Brothers.
I'm sick of people talking about the Jonas Brothers until I see dicks being slapped on their faces, I'm not interested in Jonas Brothers. I'm sorry. It's like, I want to take those little chastity.
You won't see that because they have those
promise
chastity rings.
And I want to throw them out the car window. I'm like, will you come? It's like, I'm driving the oldest one who's legal. I'd be like, give me your ring.
Guys, I am so tragically like I'm out of touch with what's going on in the world. I don't even know anything about them.
There are just some, you know, Miley Cyrus replacements.
Like, listen, I'll tell you where they came from. I guess they've been musicians, and they got on Miley Cyrus's show, and that they just exploded from there. And Disney's given them a show, and they opened for her and her concerts, and now they sell out concerts on their own.
Because teenage boy cock sells.
Yes, teenage boy cock is big
is
money.
Hot.
Are they like Hanson? Like they're real brothers?
They're handsome.
Hanson. And unlike those sinful pot-smoking blonde hippies, these are Christian-loving boys.
Okay. We don't know if they're hippie pot-smokers.
But Hanson is like the thinking man's Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
If there's such a thing, you know. Or like Jonas Brothers is like the Barney of Sesame Street to the Hanson. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to make it.
There's an analogy there somewhere. There's an analogy.
I'm just surprised. Yeah. So what do you think should actors be hosting the Oscars? Did Hugh Jackman just ruin it for everybody?
I mean, it was maybe a little bit awkward. I don't know. The Oscars have been so terrible, it seems like, the last few years, that you're comparing shit with shit. So I don't know. I mean, I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for him. It's like someone really amazing is going to have to come along and just re-envision the whole thing.
You know what I'm going to say? Mm-hmm. I want to host the Oscars.
You should host the Oscars.
I would mop up that stage. I would make Ellen look like a Whoopi Goldberg.
So yeah. You're saying the Oscars, is like that website, Rate My Poop. So it's just one turd after another turd after another turd.
It feels like it's like, I don't know. It's just someone really amazing. And not just the host, but the producers and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like the old guard of show business in Hollywood. And you just see like, sometimes like it reminds you of how these wealthy traditionalists are out of touch with the rest of the world.
Well, do you think old ladies watch like it? Because old ladies, I'm sure, watch most of the Oscars, they see
Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman at the end of the Barbara Walters interview, he does a lap dance with Barbara Walters and he starts humping her.
For Barbara Walters.
Really?
For Barbara Walters.
Did he take his shirt off?
No, he didn't. But let me tell you, the camera got a nice shot of his butt,
and they had like Barbara like reaching for him and stuff.
She was gonna grab his ass.
It was hot peaches.
Every gay man in America watching that wants to be Barbara Walters.
Wow.
Before and now, really after this, because if Hugh Jackman is dancing for me, I would have been like, screw my career, I'm gonna grab it, you know, just take it off.
Yeah, definitely.
So when are you going to start shooting your pick? When's that going to happen? How long is this process going to take?
It's less than 2 weeks.
Really?
Start shooting. It's March 5th, I think, or 6th. March 6th is our first day of shooting.
And how long will you shoot for?
Through the first week of April.
Wow. So you're going to film an entire movie in 1 month?
Yeah, well, 5 weeks.
5 weeks. So tell the people who might not be familiar with your project, All About Evil, who's going to be starring in your show, your movie.
Well, we have Cassandra Peterson, who's also known as Elvira, and she plays the mother of a boy who's obsessed with horror movies, and that boy is being played by Thomas Dekker, who is John Connor on the Terminator show, The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
The savior of humanity.
Love it.
Yes. He is.
Hey, let me interrupt real quick. Have you had a chance to talk to him about what's his name's rant?
Christian Bale.
Who's playing his character, but in the movie, Terminator 4, Salvation.
Yeah, no, I have not had a chance to ask him about it, but I am working very closely with the cinematographer from my movie, who's a really accomplished, talented cinematographer, Tom Richmond, who last shot the movie Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's won awards at Sundance and done like 40 movies. And I said, have you ever seen an actor do anything like that?
Like Christian Bale.
He said no. All his years. Because, you know, Christian Bale is yelling at the cinematographer.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should try and get Thomas Dekker to, like, imitate that on your
for
set.
Publicity.
For publicity.
I want him to do it to me. Yeah, yeah.
To you.
We'll stage it where And he should do it to me when I'm in full drag.
Absolutely. And you have to be like, you have to be like down on the ground, like you're stuck in like mud, yes, or like, you,
yeah,
so that you really like the power. You have to like be subservient. So the power structure is really there.
Because
so,
when you're in drag, you're about like 7'2".
Yeah.
And Thomas Decker's like 5'8", 9".
Yeah.
So
it's not, it's like, it's sort of like Bambi attacking Godzilla.
It'll be great though. Yeah, no, I'm at out of the 25 day shoot or 24 day shoot, I'm in drag, I think 8 of those days.
Wow.
Directing the movie, which, you know, when you're making a movie, it's 14 hour days, you know.
Right. So who's the villain?
Who's the villain?
Yeah.
Can that actually be said without giving away the plot?
I'm so close to being able to tell you guys.
Oh, really? You don't know yet?
No, I know. But
you were supposed to know, like, last month.
Well, they're still negotiating. That's why it takes so much time.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I do know, and I've spoken to her, and her managers have vetted us, and her agents have vetted us, and she is doing the movie, but the lawyers for both sides have not given us the paperwork, and I just don't want to jinx it, so
What happens if they just say, you know what, I'm sorry. You're gonna have
backups.
You have your mother that's going to play it?
Why don't you get Polly Holiday, you know, who played Flo and Alice?
She's dead.
Yes.
Oh, she's dead. I'm so sad.
I don't know if she's dead.
Polly Holiday.
You know, you have to do that, though. If you're ever going for anyone who's a bit of a name, you have to have people, you know, locally in mind to step in. So we do have that. And
she's still alive.
Is it Heclina?
Yeah, totally.
Get Polly Holiday. She's not working right now.
Poison.
She's box office. Listen, she was in Gremlins.
Yeah, that was a box office hit.
I'm talking about Heclina.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood royalty, she ain't.
Right.
Just flush her wig down the toilet for all of us. Well, Peaches, thank you so much for talking to us.
Of course. It's been too long. I miss you guys.
I know. Are you going to be able to like just chit-chat with us, or are you just crazy for the next month and a half?
No, I mean, part of my job is doing publicity, so I think, you know, if you guys want to check in with me, I'd love, especially once we start shooting.
Yeah, let's do
it. I'd love to give you little reports and, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm still trying to get Mark to be the black best friend that goes, look out!
I think she cut my part.
Okay, well, you know what's funny about that?
What?
Is I actually did cast the black best friend.
No
And it wasn't
way.
Me.
No, she is truly African-American, so...
Mark, listen.
I thought of Mark.
If Robert Downey Jr. can play a black man, so Mark can play a black woman. Easily.
Maybe I should Mark, you'll be my backup.
All right.
I mean, if she.
What's her name? In case any of our San Francisco listeners, you know, stumble upon her in a back alley somewhere.
Oh, can I just say that if any of your San Francisco listeners want to be in the movie, we're still taking those recruits and. They can go to allaboutevilthemovie.com or peacheschrist.com and sign up. Because we're still looking for as many people as we can get. Because some of those people, like one night in the movie, is actually going to take us 3 nights to shoot.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So it's tougher than it sounds to have people
You want people there for 3 nights. So you
sometimes it depends on what your schedule is. Like I know for the finale, they need a court. Let's say you're going to sit right in front of Elvira and Thomas Decker.
Yeah,
where
you need to be there
in the theater. Then you need to be there for 3 nights wearing the same outfit.
Right, and you better be handsome, right?
Well, not necessarily, because. You know, you want your stars to look good.
Oh, that's true. So you have to be uglier than Thomas Decker and Elvira.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No gum chewing.
And if you're me, you definitely have to be very fat.
And no chewing gum, no eating meatball sandwiches.
No, but
that's my speciality.
I can't believe that you made it into the Oscars montage for Milk.
I'm gonna go back and
watch it. I can't believe you didn't see it.
I was looking, but I didn't see it.
I'll tell you a little secret. We actually ran over to Hamburger Mary's and watched. RuPaul's
Drag Race,
because we're talking to
Angina
tomorrow, so we got
one. Did you see when Dustin gave his speech?
Yes.
Yes, well, I was on right before that.
Okay. I'll go back and watch it. I have to say I teared up a little bit when he gave his speech.
He's so sexy.
Do you know him?
It was so funny because all these people called, and then my mother called and said, oh, we saw you on the Academy Awards, and what did you think of his speech? And in that moment, I realized I'd never even heard it. So I was on the phone like, yeah, I did see myself.
Aren't I fabulous?
300 million people.
I looked so good. People go, who's that attractive drag queen? Why, that's Peaches Christ.
You know, nobody, I want to say for the record, nobody in the world would ever have known I was eating if it weren't for you fuckers.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Cleve Jones said it to me.
Yeah, he said, and you tell
her. Who said it to you?
Cleve Jones, the guy who made the film.
No, you brought it up to him.
No, I started to mention it, and then he's like, yeah, I can't believe she was chewing gum in that film. And we sat here and we talked about how you went to Catholic school. And
oh,
you said,
my God. That is too much.
Do you actually get people say stuff to you about it or no?
Yeah, because of you guys, though. They're all your listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, they're also fans of yours, too, now.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure they are.
Or frenemies.
Are they, like, Facebook messaging you this, or are they coming up to you?
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, you know, little rude, little quips. Like, they've got one on me.
Well, they learn from the best, sweetheart.
Yeah,
a girl gotta keep up her strength.
You know, because you were on camera for 3 seconds. What else are we gonna talk about?
Hey, I was there. I was in the scene.
That and your fierce drag, your wonderful wig, your beautiful makeup.
I'm what they call, like, you know, what we're looking for my movie. They call them background. Did you know that that's the new politically correct term?
For extras
is actually like not okay.
Oh, it's like midgets, like calling little people midgets.
So the professional folks that do background for a living, we can't actually have them on my movie because we're not paying the background. It's a volunteer thing.
Sure.
Like, we can't afford to. So you can't be SAG background.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it so fascinating to learn that they don't want to be called extras anymore. Like, that's considered rude. So in the office, we were joking the other day that they're, you know, they want to be known as background Americans.
I would imagine that people that play background Americans, do this, like, all the time, right? Because they're in, like, in every movie. And that they're probably pretty weird, I would imagine. Because that's a weird job.
There are rumors. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble because I don't really know. But
and union people do listen. I actually worked as a background American.
You did?
See? There you have it.
And on the film, what was the film? The film of the guy who did Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
It was that thing that was shot in Houston where you skipped.
It was in Austin.
Austin, that's it.
Right.
And so I was supposed to be in the movie, and I got paid to be in the movie.
School Days or Happy Days or something.
Some stupid movie. I don't know what it is. But what I did is I hooked up with a hot guy who was in the thing, and we went to a bar, and we drank and made out and groped each other's cocks all day long. And then at the end, we...
show up to get the check.
In, yes. And they paid you in cash, which was awesome.
No, and I think there are a lot of people like that who know, you know, they're there for the money.
Mm-hmm. Not for the high art.
You know, with a movie like mine where it's so low budget, with a very, very ambitious screenplay, you really, none of us are there for the money.
You're there for the experience and for making the art.
Yeah,
and I
think that actually helps the background, as it were. They're way more into being there.
Now, are you looking for the normal types, or you want some, like, drag queens, trannies?
Ugly people.
Well, what's funny is, we're describing it as basically a midnight mass audience without the drag. So freaks and weirdos and San Franciscans and queers and punks, whatever, but not drag. And the reason for that is because we're hand-picking the drag. Because it's very important to the movie. So
you're going to go up to an extra, a backgrounder.
Artist.
A background artist and say, I'm sorry, that lipstick, shade of lipstick is a little too draggy. You have to use a chapstick.
It's not that. It's more big wigs. Anything that's going to compete with Heclina, Putanesca, Peaches, Martini, they won't make it in.
So who's going to get murdered first in the movie is what I want to know.
Please tell me it's Heclina.
Is it Heclina?
No, it's, I can't really, well, I could tell
you.
No, I can't really tell you.
Okay.
Is it a drag queen gets killed first?
No.
Okay.
Because I want to see, basically, I want you to rewrite the script right now. And because we were watching The Omen, and we were taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that the scene where the journalist gets his beheaded by the pane of glass would be a great way to finish off Eklina. And, you know, special effects are a little bit hard to come by, so you have to do it realistically. You know what I'm saying?
You have to watch my shorts. Because I murder her multiple times in my short films.
I've seen them.
She gets murdered in a bathtub in Nightmare on Castro Street. Very violently, she has a squeaky blonde, gives her a sex change operation in a bathtub.
Mm.
An unwanted one. And then, exactly what you're asking for, I myself sever her head with a chainsaw and whatever happened to Peaches Christ, and then I serve it to Martini.
Well, she had it coming.
I actually, you know, when I went and watched RuPaul's drag show tonight, I'm wearing your Peaches t-shirt right now where you're holding on to somebody's head.
It's Martini's head.
It's Martini's head.
Right.
So I took off my jacket in front of Jade from Chicago, who was the drag queen on the show. And I said to her, some drag queen's going to be handed their head tonight. And she looked at my t-shirt and started laughing.
She liked it.
She
well,
did like
what?
It.
What? That- a Peaches t-shirt was just worn on TMZ last week.
What? I want to say I saw that.
There's some blonde surfer guy, and everyone was calling me because he was wearing the Peaches t-shirt.
Yeah, I did. I saw that, and I was just like, what? And I was like, should I rewind and see if it was? And I said, no, I think it probably was.
I love it when merchandise makes it onto television. New media, old media triumphs, but the new media merchandise.
So it's like I'm on the Academy Awards. I'm on TMZ. I'm in the paparazzi.
You're
we had one of our listeners, Zach, who was the whole special on being gay and a teenager, mm-hmm. and he insisted on wearing his Face of Fools t-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2020.
On 2020.
That's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the surge in web traffic was so severe that it almost brought down our website.
Wow.
But what's interesting, I've been on a Check Please, a local television show, and I've been going, was just very well received and viewed in Chicago, and I've been going to the gyms and to the gay bars and stuff, and like
I'd say 25 to 30 people
at least,
come up to me.
You were on
Check Please, right? And he's like, yes.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun.
I actually was the bartender, which you don't really see me. Well, you see me in one part and I'm pouring wine. And somebody actually Facebook said to me, like, was that you pouring the wine on Check Please? I'm like, yes, it was.
Oh, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just never know.
I know. I like it when merchandise makes it onto television. Because we live and die by merchandise sales. You know
I was going to ask you about merchandise. Because I have my CD on iTunes. Don't you love how shameless I am?
Oh, yes. Peaches Christ is gangsta, right?
Yeah. If you guys would ever want to play my songs.
Why don't we play it at the end of the show?
Let's play it right now.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Peaches, we all thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. And do check in with me. Call me. Well,
send
me an email, and I'll tell you what my days off are during the shoot, because we have a schedule now.
Okay, wonderful.
I would love to give you,
put
know,
it
whatever
together.
Behind-the-scenes drama is.
I will take... Yeah, if there isn't any drama, just make it up. The listeners will never know. Just be like, Thomas Decker and Elvira were making out. It was really weird.
Totally.
He was fingering her.
Be respectful.
Oh, my God.
I want to see Thomas Decker. I want you to put Thomas Decker on the phone and have him do a Christian Bale freak out.
You do?
Yeah, could you do that?
You should do it as a YouTube video.
No, but I'm saying, can we call you when you're on the set with him and have him scream?
We'll have him do it. Yeah,
he's like, what a motherfucking, what is he even, I forgot what Christian Bale says.
Are you a fucking amateur or something like
that?
Saying like,
it was crazy.
Like,
it was crazy.
We'll write out a little script for him to read, you know, get his
Well, and you guys have seen the Lily Tomlin freak out from I Heart Huckabees, right?
No.
Oh, well, definitely YouTube that, because it's fabulous.
Really? And it's for real.
Yeah. They just have it on the video, like whoever was doing the camera recorded her on the video playback. It's not really, it's not her that's the asshole. It's the director, David O. Russell, who at one point calls her a cunt.
Call that out. Lily Tomlin.
I will.
Yeah, YouTube it right now.
Lily Tomlin, I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, you,
freak
just
out.
YouTube Lily. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I want her to go. I bet she goes up to Jane, her partner, and does the same thing.
She's really fabulous in this clip because she's really reading him hard.
Oh, and guess what? We're going to be taping a live podcast at Steamworks on Friday, February 27th at 8 p.m. with Tracy Tyler, Adam Guarino, Keith Decker, Bill Cruz, and special musical guest Phil Putnam.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be there?
I love her.
I will. I will tell her.
She's going to take it all off.
She's going to get naked because she can get naked because it's Steamworks. You can take it all off at Steamworks.
So we're going to get around Tracy and do a gangbang.
I wish you could come for that.
I know. I would love to fuck her.
You know, she really doesn't do that unless you're at, like, dating. That's something she reserves for her lovers.
But you could do a little kai-kai.
I need to be like her pool janitor.
Oh, yeah. Just you know what it is with Tracy? You just get it like any kind of, like, third collar or blue collar outfit and just pretend you're like the pool cleaner,
the cable repair guy, the bus driver, the cab driver, you know, the custodian, pizza delivery guy. Pretty much any job where you get like make under 20 an hour. And then that'll get her dick hard.
Some of those plumbers make good money. They make more than 20 an hour.
Well, you
there's
know,
something hot about that.
Oh, that is hot, you know.
Well,
a man who makes a lot of money is a
lot of times
on.
They're in your personal space. I think that's what makes it hot. They were in your house. You
know? Yeah. And so that's easy access.
Yeah, and it was like no one will ever find out.
Pizza delivery.
Well, thank you, Peaches.
Yeah, thank you,
sweetie.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Peaches Christ lives in San Francisco, California, and her new movie, All About Evil, will start production soon. They'll be filming shortly in San Francisco. If you want to be an extra, I'm sorry, a background artist in her film, please visit allaboutevilthemovie.com.
Today's episode was sponsored by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. Gay, sexy, healthy, hit the sweet spot, LifeLube.org. And I want to remind people, too, that we can't do the show without your support. So please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and look for the little green bar, make a donation, or visit our store and buy a t-shirt.
That strange sounds that you're hearing in the background, no, there's nothing wrong with your iPod. That's Peaches Christ's new song. Hookers in the House from her album,
Yo.
Peaches Christ is Gangsta.
Wow.
And love it or hate it, we honor and respect it, Peaches Christ, and all her fierceness that she brings to the world. So that's about it. I want to thank all our guests for coming. Peaches Christ,
Devin Green and Joel Bryant.
I was going to say call him Joel Green and Devin Bryant.
Oh, you're trying to feminize him.
Maybe so, a little bit. You know, I was surprised that Joel Bryant sounded so much like Hugh Jackman and physically resembles him, too.
He doesn't look anything like him.
He's as, you know, thick and yummy as Hugh Jackman. You don't think he is?
Yeah. No, I think he's delicious in his own way, but I don't think he
has that
looks
sort of rugged
anything
good looks
like Hugh Jackman at all. And nobody else in the world would think that.
I bet Devin thinks so.
All right.
I think, well, listen, he sounded a lot like him. He carries the same kind of flavor.
Wonderful impersonation, I have to say. What?
Mark's in a cranky mood because he's up late.
It's a ridiculous
doing the thing.
It's a ridiculous statement to say
no,
that
it's
he looks
not
like him.
I disagree with your assessment of my statement.
All right, whatever.
Whatever to you.
Bye, everyone. Happy Oscars.
Are we done?
We're done.
Okay, bye.
Let me just play it.